Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's October 31st, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. And Scott, I'm so glad you got dressed up for Halloween today.
Yeah, I'm going as a 38-year-old, premature gray, chubby guy.
You're not 38, I'm 38. How old are you?
That's right, I'm 36.
You look older than
me. That's what made a difference. I put a little extra gray in the hair.
As you can tell by the length of my beard, I'm going as Jesus. But it's Halloween. Are you going to give away some candy tonight to the little kiddies or what?
Yeah, as long as they're not from the state of Pennsylvania.
Oh, that was the first time he'd ever won up there too, huh?
Yeah. And then Penn State beat Ohio State. So
that's what I was talking about. Yeah. First time.
Oh no, I thought you were talking about the World Series.
Oh no, yeah, I know. No. That was a rare victory as well too.
The month long World Series.
Yeah, that was brutal. Yeah, you knew it was going to happen. Though. They had to lose. I felt bad.
What?
No, I mean, because they only had the 3 innings to score a run whatever. So you knew that was a brutal situation they were in there, you know. Yeah. But, I'm sorry. Yeah. I watched the Penn State game because I knew you were there. I was hoping to see you on the screen or something, you know, but that didn't happen. But
yeah, I was the guy with the big the wig on and no shirt that said I was the B.
But I felt bad for you. But while you were gone, I held up. You know, I held down the fort for the Antiup Nation, and I participated in the WDAE Poker Club free roll going all in to Mexico tournament at Tampa Bay Downs, the Silks Poker Room, which, again, love that room.
Very nice room. Very nice.
Beautiful
room.
Televisions, beautiful room, beautiful setup. It was a free roll, so it was pretty quick. It was a 10-minute blinds, which was, you know, kind of tough to adjust to, but first hand, pocket kings.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I raised.
Did you click a raise on the? Oh no, I'm sorry. This is a live tournament.
It's a live tournament.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So wow. So it's really rare.
Yeah.
Then.
So I raised 4x because I was in middle position.
Did you actually have x's?
Yeah.
Because it's a free roll. I mean, you could probably do that.
Yeah.
I'm putting x's in it and confuse everyone.
Got two callers, came all unders, bet out, and they folded. So I had a nice little stack.
Yeah, there you go.
And, of course, my cheapness shone through because they said, hey, even though it's a free roll, if you want to pay $5 more, you get 1,000 more chips.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
And I didn't do it.
You got to be kidding me.
I didn't do it. I was saving this for the show. I wanted to see.
Oh, my God.
Now, here's the reason.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that was going to be, you know, me and my money. I don't bring money with me. I always have plastic. So I didn't know that was an option. I would have brought $5. And the dealer recognized me. He said, you look familiar. Are you from Antiup? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, I love your magazine. And he was talking to me about it. And then he said, and then I felt really bad.
Oh, no.
I'm like, dude, I didn't know that there was going to be a dealer out on. I'd have given you $5. You know, he's like, don't worry about it. I was like, no, I feel really bad, you know. And so they were giving out bounties.
They do have ATMs. And
oh, yeah, I'm going to pay $2 to get $5. That makes sense. Oh man! Plus, there wasn't time. I got in there. I sat down. I started playing. So, but it was fun. They had about 140 players, and I want to tell you all the hands I played because I can tell you in a timely fashion.
Oh, okay. All right. Because it's only an hour show.
I know those pocket kings.
Yep.
A few hands later, pocket tens.
All right.
And no one called my raise.
I'm sensing a trend here.
Yes.
Pocket eights next.
Pocket aces.
Oh.
When I was short stacked.
That's good.
It was really, I was really short stacked, and I really sold it, like, you know, because when I get short stacked, I kind of set it up, making people think that I'm only going to go in with paint or whatever, you know? So I turned the aces over, guy had king six, and I doubled up. Ace king got a guy to get it all in with ace queen, and the board paired twice, and we split. And my last hand, ace queen.
Wow.
I played five hands. I actually shoved the ones with king six when the blinds were behind me, and I got them.
You thief.
Yeah, but other than that, really, though, I mean, playing hands to actually play them, I played five hands in 2.5 hours. I went out in 27th place out of 140 players, but the brutal hand came at the end. I had ace queen, and a guy who really didn't know what he was doing limped under the gun. So I had shoved, and I only had like 1,700 more when the blinds were like 1 in 2,000 or whatever. So the big blind calls me, and then the guy who didn't know what he was doing calls me, and it comes 5, 6, 7,
mm-hmm.
rainbow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm doing pretty good. They both checked, so I'm thinking they're checking it down.
Did you have an ace deuce in your hand too? Get the low.
Don't get me started. We'll talk about that later. So anyway, eight comes on the turn, and the big blind says all in. And yeah, the guy who doesn't know what he's doing folds.
Isn't that the worst thing when you're all in, yeah, short stacked, and somebody and there's actual action?
And there's actual action. You know you're dead.
Yeah.
He turns over 9-10, my favorite hand.
Yeah.
And hit a gut shot to knock me out. And, of course, an ace comes on the river. So I got knocked out, but I had fun, had a good time, took a photo, reported this story. And it's a nice way for the WDAE Poker Club to kick off. It's and it turns out somebody from WDAE won the trip to Mexico. So that was cool. I had a good time, saw Patrick Murphy there, said hello. He's the head of poker operations there. They had all the football games up, and that's when I was, I knew you were gone, and I was feeling sad for you the next day that your team lost.
That's all right.
But it was cool. We had a good time, and, I did feel bad about not tipping the $5 toke. I did. But I got that $1,000 in chips, or 1,000 chip, 1,000 units, like on the first hand.
So that makes it all better.
So now I don't feel bad.
Poor dealer's going door to door now, selling plasma to make it to the next rent payment. But you doubled up early on, so that's cool.
Yeah, my $5 would have made the difference in his life. That's hilarious.
Well, even though I was out of town, Chris, it did not stop me from participating in our monthly ritual here at Apes.
Yes,
at Andy Up, called Apes.
You should play out of state more often.
Yes.
That's pretty incredible.
Well, it's because it's so freaking cold in Ohio. I was bundled up and focused. I wasn't, carefree and, roaming around the house like I do down here in the normal temperature climates.
Yeah, just don't tell me you're a tire when you're doing that. I think that you should just crank up the AC at home and put on the blankets then, man, because clearly you do better when you're cold.
Yeah, yeah. But that half bike.
That Mike Hefner, man.
Our nemesis.
He three bananas for that kid. He's gonna have a bushel or what do they call bunch?
A peck.
I don't know. It's a bunch. Yeah. A bunch of bananas.
A pride.
A pride.
A gaggle.
Oh, a school of bananas.
But no, it was a great, really good tournament too, and particularly the final table was a lot of fun. There were a lot of longtime listeners there.
Fasso was there.
Yep, he held on to six. We were actually, I think. Had we thought about it, we probably could have done a good last longer because we both went in the final table as the short stacks.
Oh, that would have been funny.
Yeah, yeah. And it's good to go. He made it to six, so he outlasted three people, and then for some crazy reason, I ended up making it a second.
Andy Yep does not promote gambling. Anything you hear on this show is... All right, but really, how did it go? I heard you were short stacked, too. I mean, to the point where it was like, good God, he had to hold some back. We just talked about this a few weeks ago, too, with... The live tournament you were at. So you held some back and it paid off.
Yeah, yeah. I ended up down the 740 chips. I think somebody in the forum said it was the final table. I don't think it was the final table. I think it might have been the final two tables.
Wow.
But it was late in the tournament. And
where's that forum?
AnteUpMagazine.com.
/forum. Excellent.
Yeah, very good.
Anybody who's not been there, please go. It's pretty cool.
But yeah, I had one of those classic hands where I had draws all over the place and I was in and... I had a piece of it on the river, but, it just wasn't worth throwing the last chips in, what's the benefit of doing that?
If I
lose, which I did, I still had chips left. I wasn't out,
man.
And if I won, I wasn't going to make it that many more chips. So 740 and I came back, had a couple of scoops, I think. And then pretty soon got up to like 70,000 or something ridiculous like that. I love the full tilt blinds at the end.
Yeah. It's.
You just need to win a couple hands, and all of a sudden you're king of the event.
Yeah. So on the forums, they're all happy for you.
Of course.
And, of course, Blazman chimes in and says, "N is the first any upper to make second." And I was like, no, I've done it twice. And he said, including in Raz. And he said, "Well, that's not a real game. This is a real poker game." Yeah, whatever. Any game that gives you half of the pot for the worst hand.
That's an excellent game. I've been loving Omaha 8.
Well, of course, I love Stud 8, so I can't really say anything about that. But, congratulations to finishing second. I was really happy. It was funny when I signed off, and I don't want to really get into
it. It is always funny when you sign off.
Yeah, But I thought, Scott could probably do something here, because I had seen you were down low earlier, and then you started going up, and I was like, this is your game, and I wonder how he's going to do. But I was so frustrated, because I literally played for 2 hours and did not, and I'm not exaggerating. If I had my hand history, I would send it to anybody who wanted it. I literally did not see ace-deuce once the entire tournament.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I literally didn't see it for less than 10 times. It was so frustrating.
The best hand I had was, for like, you know, going low and high, was a suited ace with a 3 and a 5. And I played it, and then the came like 10-10-9, so that was useless. But then other than that, you know, I had an ace 3 once, and I split the pot with that once. And then other than that, it was like at pocket kings, raised, got called, flop top set with only one low card. And the guy chased me down for a runner runner low to make his low. He had no draw. And I was just, oh man. I mean I just can't play that game and be happy. I just can't. I mean, I made the final table last year.
In
fairness,
you can't play many poker games and be happy.
Yeah, I know. That's true. But you're not saying that I can't play them. You're saying I can't play them and be happy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
As long
as
we're clear on that.
And Bernice Q finished third, a longtime listener, and for a while I thought it was going to be her and Half Mike, but you know, I put a pretty brutal bad suck out on her.
Oh man,
took some chips, and then Half Mike, I think.
Did you get like a dead rabbit in the mail?
No. And but she was one of those people rooting for me, so yeah. So take that, Half Mike. You got the banana, but I got the love. But Chris, we've set our final two events,
which makes me happy because now I know I'll be able to play in them because I might be going broke before that.
Exactly, and I've already bought in. I'm not doing that whole trying to win a tournament token thing this year that wrecked my bankroll last year. But so here they are. The November event is the No Limit Hold'em Double Stack.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $10+1, so the point values are doubling.
Excellent.
And that is going to be on Thursday, November 20th, 9 p.m. Eastern. Password.
Ante up. All one word.
All right. And then the main event comes in December, December 18th. Plenty of time to get that last bit of money to go out and buy the spouse something they really need, like, you know, a dealer toke or something like that. It is going to be horse.
Excellent.
It's a double stack event as well. 24+2, 9 p.m. Eastern, Thursday, December 28th. And you can get a token for that
like. December 18th.
Yes.
You said 28th.
No, that's not right.
And it's December 18th. It's
December 18th.
You said 28th. You know that's going to be
well,
a day
of the
show.
Here's what it is. November 20th is my father's birthday. December 28th is my brother's birthday.
Oh, okay. December 20th is my nephew's birthday.
Yeah, okay.
And my sister-in-law's birthday somewhere around there.
Yeah. All right, so I confused everybody one more time. November 20th, right. No Limit Hold'em Double Stack, 10+1. December 18th, horse main event double stack, 24+2.
Very good.
All at Full Tilt. Password, Annie up. Good seats still available.
Well, speaking of the Annie Up brass, as it is, Columbo, our favorite mystery man, wins the 24K guaranteed on Full Tilt recently.
Wow.
Pockets 7,200 smacks.
Not bad.
That's a lot.
Gotta buy a lot of bananas.
That's a lot of money, man. Congratulations. He beat 1,374 players to win that thing.
Isn't that just staggering?
Somebody should just give him a bracelet. I mean,
exactly.
That's like winning a bracelet. That's insane. Congratulations, Columbo, and man, buy Mrs. Columbo something nice because I know she's definitely deserving of it.
So. Yeah, and be sure to tip your dealer.
$5, but really, congratulations, that's fantastic, and I know that I'm sure that this makes Annie Up National Lee Childs happy as well. So I think those two have been working together a little bit.
Oh,
and,
very good. So the training is paying off.
Right, the fruits of their labor.
Good old acumen education.
Fruits of their labor. Hey, I got a question for you. Now, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Because that was like, you know, that's a big return on his investment.
That's more money than we made last year.
But it's more money than we made this year. But I have a question. Now, did you know that the World Poker Open is not part of the World Poker Tour anymore?
I have heard that, yes.
Okay, so recently, just this week, Cloney Gowan, one of our guests,
used to be on the guest,
born here in Tampa, won the event. But how do you think she feels knowing that only 107 people entered it, and she only won 183 grand?
I think she's very happy that she won 183K instead of losing 10 grand. That's what I think.
You still think she's happy?
Of course. Who wouldn't be happy winning a tournament? But yeah, I know what you're trying to say is that had it still been an official event, there probably would have been 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 people there.
Wow.
You know, a disappointing tournament for Eric Seidel, probably. And a lot more money, but still, you know, I don't think you're gonna be upset that you won an event. I mean, it's not like she got out there, showed up, gave her $10,000. Hey, wait a minute, where's the WPT logo? Bummer. I'm quite certain she went there and knew
she finally wins a big event. I mean, I know she won some other stuff before, but she finally wins this huge event. I know she won like the Bellagio Cup undercard event, but this is something that could have been televised had the World Poker Tour not been suffering, or you know, continue to go there. And now only 107. How does the facility feel about only having 107 people in their main event of their big tournament? You know, that's just, I felt bad. I just wonder if this is a sign of things to come or if it's just an anomaly. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I really don't have anything to say.
I'm not going to be upset that only 107 players played in it. I mean, you got to think they're running free rolls. They advertise in Card Player and all these other magazines for that. I've seen the ads. You know, maybe they need to advertise in our magazine.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, because we're right a hop, skip, and a jump away. What are they waiting for?
That's it.
Send us an ad, and you will double your field if you advertise with Annie Up Magazine.
No, real quick, this isn't on our schedule here, but I just realized that because we're talking about the World Poker Tour. You know, we get off the plane in Columbus, and whose face do I see, you know, in addition to 200 random strangers that are traveling?
Mike Sexton?
Lyle Berman.
Oh, Lyle Berman.
No, he wasn't there really. He was on the TV, and I saw his face no less than 6,782 times before I left the state of Ohio. Because it's his company that wants to build a casino in Ohio that's on the ballot this year. Mm. And talk about political advertising gone rampant.
Wow.
Every commercial in Ohio is a political ad. It's insane up there.
Wow.
And
half
of them are Lyle Berman. It's either him saying, hey, no, the casino's a great thing. People are lying about me. Or those great, you know, those attack ads, you know, where they make him look all like he's a an evil guy.
They put it black and white.
Exactly. Lyle Berman. What is Lyle Berman not telling you? Our families will be destroyed if you vote yes on issue 6.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah, but, you know, I guess I was out of the loop, you know, because I've been away from Ohio for a while. I didn't realize it was Lyle Berman's group that was putting the casino up there.
Well, that's okay. It's the spontaneity of our show that makes it the quality product that it is.
Yes, yes. There's got to be something that makes it a quality product. and that sounds like better than anything.
So, limited time, podcastawards.com.
Yeah, speaking of a quality
you can
list.
Vote. You can vote for our show there to say that we're the best sports show, which was... I found that odd that we were in that category, but I'm happy about it. I'm happy we're just nominated, just like, you know, Susan Lucci said for 35 years.
I pushed hard to get us nominated in the home and garden section, but, darn those people and their pruning roses. We just can't compete with them.
You know, we always talk about spades on the show. I can see why people would be easily confused.
And clovers.
Clovers, exactly. Got all the clovers.
So anyhow, we're one of the 10 best sports podcasts, as rated by podcastawards.com voters.
Awesome.
Which is probably a good deal from the good old Annie Up Nation.
Now, we want to take this down.
Exactly.
Just like we want to take down the bluff thing. So, of course, we're reminding you.
We want to eat all the children. We're not just happy cashing. We want to take the whole thing.
Oh, man. So, you can vote once every 24 hours, too. It's not like just cast your vote once. So, if you voted for us already but didn't realize it, you can go back and vote again, and you won't get in trouble. They won't. You know, the internet police won't show up and say, you illegally. No, you can vote every 24 hours. I've done it every day since we've been up there, and it's good until November 6th. So the only election that really matters is ours. So please.
That and issue 6 in Ohio.
Yes,
destroying
exactly.
Families.
That's right. Go Lyle. but really, vote for us. Vote often. Well, not often. Vote once every 24 hours.
But you could vote once every 24 hours per email address.
Yeah.
It's a little loophole that only I came up with.
Yeah, baby.
No one else has thought about that.
Oh, I have.
That's why it was funny.
I thought of it as you were saying it.
Yeah.
All right, so really, do that. And then also The Bluff. And all the links are on our home site, our home page, anteupmagazine.com. I've provided links for you, so to make it nice and convenient. Don't let us down, Ante Up Nation. We want to come through and sweep these awards. I want it to be like, you know, like Titanic when they won everything at the, you know, they won the Academy Awards,
yes, and then
they won the, whatever those other ones, Golden Globes for the foreign correspondents, you know.
You know, and I'll say this, too. If we win, I will get on top of a ship and say, king of the world. I will do that.
I'm king of the world.
You know, all these
world.
Crazy principals that, you know, shave their heads for Mohawks when the Rays, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I promise the Annie Up Nation, if we win this, I will be king of the world.
And how do those people with the Mohawks feel today?
Well, a little lighter.
Yeah, a little lighter.
A little chilly out, too, because it's so freaking freezing here.
Yeah, I'm wearing pants. Go figure. I'm sure you're happy we're in close quarters like this that I'm wearing pants.
Now, Chris, poker is supposed to be fun, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun.
Now, I know it's not always fun for you. You know, it's
especially when I'm playing Omaha 8.
About four parts unreal, six parts unbelievable, and one point, yeah, I win. You're a donkey.
Yeah,
but
true.
For some people, they like to have some fun, and the good folks at the Commerce Casino are trying to bring even more fun to our game, aren't they?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. They have this poker comedian named Rodney Rod, Rod with two D's.
Ooh, two D's.
I'm glad we clarified that.
Yeah, because I usually confuse him with Rodney Rod, the guy with the one D. You know, he was, you know.
Wasn't he a wrestler?
No, I think he was in one of those after school specials.
Rodney Roddy Piper, after school specials. So apparently he's going to be the, quote, professor of the Commerce Casino's University of Poker. It's a tuition-free institution where you can study all you want, never lose a penny, and laugh till you can't stop.
Wow, I wonder if the credits transfer. Because, you know, I started a course like that at the University of Phoenix.
Phoenix. Oh, man. So apparently, here's what's in store for you. The name of the course is No Beginner to Green. And then there's also another course, Intermediate Classes. And you know what? They're calling themselves the world's largest poker casino.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
I believe they do. I think they have more tables than anybody else out there.
That's incredible.
It's like, you know, hundreds, more than 100.
I really
Fox Sports had what?
Yeah, they had like 99 tables at one point.
Yeah, it's more than 100. I don't know.
Wow.
And great tableside food, too, by the way.
Yeah, is that the one that had the green tea ice cream?
No, that was Hawaiian Gardens, but I'm sure they had green tea ice cream. I just didn't get around to it because I was eating a bunch of other stuff.
Well, anyway, this course begins
table service.
November
table
4th,
six.
Tuesday, November 4th, so Election Day. So when you're done voting, head over to the casino. And there are no prerequisites, no 12-hour entrance exams, no term papers. And best of all, no cost to attend.
Now, I wonder if the professor is going to be wearing the sport coat with the little, you know, the patches on the elbows.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, the corduroy jackets.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, suede patches.
Because that would be funny.
So, you know, instead of us just going on and on about it, though, you can just visit their website, commercecasino.com/pokerclasses.aspx. It seems to be like a lot of fun. This guy apparently is a funny dude, and he knows poker. So laugh your way to the final table. That was mine right there. I made that up myself.
Laugh your way to the final table.
That is mine
Very
right there.
Very good. You should copyright that.
I'm going to copyright
that on a T-shirt.
And then send it to them and say, if you want to use this, buy an ad in our magazine.
But, you know, it's an alternative way of learning the game. And, you know, we've gone to a WSOP Academy. We know some other folks that have gone to a WPT boot camp.
Right.
And of course, those are our big dollar, big
right.
pro kind of events. So,
exactly.
You know, you get good stuff out of it, but you got to pay good money. And this obviously is free.
Yep.
I don't think Mr. Rod is a pro of any sort, though very funny guy.
Two D's.
So I wonder if there's something in between.
Me too. I have to wonder if there's something that people would want to do, but not take up an entire weekend or entire week, but also know that they can afford it. And learn something in a nice condensed kind of way that, you know, culminates in like maybe a tournament or something. I wonder what the Andy of Nation thinks about that. If they've been to camps, I'd like to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to hear what they like the most out of camps and what they didn't like about camps and what they'd like to see in camps. And then in an affordable camp, something that could take a few hours rather than a few days. And let us know. Send it to podcast@anyupmagazine.com. And I really want to hear from everybody about this, if they've been to camps or if they're interested in going to camps or what they'd like to see in camps, just, you know, or seminars or whatever you want to call them, academies.
And poker camps. We don't want to hear about your experiences with Bill Murray and meatballs and stuff like that. Just poker camps, please.
Yeah, and poker seminars. Well, I don't want to hear about, like, you know, well, Sharp Technologies did this one on the, you know, the circuit boards of a 1947 television.
Or Ameriprise Financial got me and 10 of my friends free lunch at Applebee's.
Yeah, I went to Amway and the pyramid. Crap. So anyway, really though, if you've been to a camp or want to go to a camp and like to go to one that you can afford, let us know what you'd like to see in that camp, and we'll talk about it. And who knows, maybe someday we'll have one. Right.
Of course. Now, Chris, we have a lot of longtime listeners that we feel affection for that, you know, that contribute to the emails and forums. And
just move a little further away from me now.
Well, I don't necessarily mean that way.
No, absolutely. We always have correspondence, and some more than others, and Sure, a lot of people hold down particular chapters of the NEF Nation.
Exactly, exactly.
And one of them, John Talmadge.
Yep.
He holds down the
Dean
Dallas,
of Dallas.
The Dallas chapter. And we talked to him all the time, and he sent an interesting email that I had to respond to. I'll read it to you, okay?
Very quickly.
Just a note of congratulations and appreciation to you guys. I still haven't missed an episode, although I've not been calling in the past few months. Your listeners have become so sophisticated, and your guest list so impressive. I can't just reel off a rambling monologue like in the old days. Which, you know, we never stopped him. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe he is concerned that the hotline only allows him to go to a minute now.
That's true. He says, by the way, the Cosenza is now a hand frequently mentioned in our home group. And we occasionally turn it into a verb. I am a verb, Scott.
Yes, you are a verb. You're full of verbiage. I know that.
Quote, I play Ace 10 and got Cosenzanated or Cosenzified. The best one he said recently was, I knew when I played that hand, I would end up with Cosenza all over me. I'm not even going to touch that.
Yeah, no
one
wants that.
And then, of course, he says when it wins, the cry is Cosenza Nation or Co-O-O-Senza. Every broadcaster and writer needs a legacy, and mine has begun, apparently.
Yeah, yours has begun, and I want it to end, too. I want to stop this Cosenza thing out like a cockroach. But I can't. Every time I turn on the light, it scurries across the floor
Let
again.
Let me tell you, when there is just a total nuclear bomb and wipes the whole face of the earth, three things will survive. Cocroaches, Cher, and the Cosenza.
Yeah.
Just remember that. Now, here's the thing. You want it to end, but you're always bringing up Ace 10 and joking around on the
show and busting
my chops. So if you want it to end.
I do feed the beast. I do feed the beast.
Same thing with the whole, I'm not going to bring up the dollar tip
thing. I'm not going to bring up the dollar tip anymore. Now I'm going to bring up the $5 tip thing now. It's five times a better story now.
Well, that was a mistake. That wasn't, you know, both times I was innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, yes, yes. And you were proven guilty, though.
Yeah. Anyway, John, thanks for
you're,
that.
You're an anti-ops OJ.
We're going to have to come up with one for Long so you can make fun of him at the home game as well. But I really appreciate it, and I really hope that maybe someday they do call these hands the Cosenza. You know, have something to show for, because you know my show with you isn't going to last very long if we keep going this way.
Exactly. But you know what? We'll always have the DB dealer hotline.
Absolutely. And now this week I'm going to say the phone number before you give me crap about it. If you would like to call the DB dealer hotline and get a deck of plastic playing cards from them, which are really cool, you call 813-448-1120, and if we choose your clip, we will send you something really nice.
So, operators are standing by.
You know, let's listen to the first clip. Whoa! It sounds like they passed out and they hit their head on the buttons of the phone or something.
Well, it's probably late at night in the tournament. They've been drinking some beer and hey, I'm going to call the NEF hotline and you know just fell down.
So you know what it really is? It's somebody who's on a respirator and they got so excited they were going to call the hotline that they flatlined. And one of the NEF Nation now is in a better place.
Okay. Well, Mr. Beep, send us your address, and we'll get you a deck of those fancy playing cards.
No. We have a real one. Let's listen to the real clip.
Hey, guys. This is Ward from Alabama. Just wanted to call and ask you guys a question. In some of these hands that y'all have been playing, y'all constantly refer to different positions that you're in or that you want to be in or whatever, like the cutoff position and under the gun position, and something called a hijack position. I have no idea what any of these positions are. I know what the button is, because that's the dealer, and I know about the big blind and the small blind. But the rest of these positions, I've got no idea what it is, and you need to educate me as best you can. Appreciate it.
You know, every few months, we're always reminded that we do have some listeners who still don't know all the terminology, and we take it for granted.
We do, and I feel bad, because when we started, we were very good about that, because we were beginners in a sense in that time, and we explained all those terms, because there's nothing worse than picking up a book or listening to a show and and finding out that it's a foreign language.
I feel so bad. So all right, so we're gonna say it now, real quick.
Exactly.
All right, so UTG under the gun. This is the first person on the first round of betting to act. So he's just next to the big blind on the left. Under the gun is a terminology used in all walks of life when you're under pressure, when you're under the gun. So that's why that's called that. That's the first one. And then you can take another one. You
want to
take
cutoff.
Yeah, cutoff.
Is to the right of the button on.
Right,
the button on.
This is the player that they call it the cutoff because basically they can cut off the action from the button on, and that's the person who's like basically, you know.
Yeah, back in the olden days, like, you know, 2006, the button was the, you know, the great spot to have because you got to act last on every hand. But now, you know, poker's progressed.
All right.
And the best spot now is
the cutoff.
The cutoff.
Yeah,
because
it looks a little less suspicious when you're raising from the cutoff seat than the button seat.
Exactly.
Because when you're in the button, it looks like you're just stealing because of the blinds.
Exactly.
But now, every year we seem to progress, and now there's the hijack seat, which is two to the right of the button, or one to the right of the cutoff. Now, this looks even less suspicious than the cutoff, and we call it that so that you can steal even further away. Next year, three seats is going to be called
the assassination.
The assassination seat.
I mean, literally, we start with under the gun, then we go to cutoff, then hijack. What's left? We'll do assassination, and then it might be execution after that. And then pretty soon, the seats are going to get, it's going to get full circle back to under the gun. And then what are people going to do?
Then when you're under the gun, you're not really under the gun anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. So anyway, that's what those things mean. And if you have any other questions, be sure to ask us. We will definitely answer them for you. It's just sometimes it gets away from us, you know. We're all big shots now, publishers of a magazine. We think that we know everything, and everyone else should know everything, too.
But what do you think about this ridiculousness of literally every camp you go to, they move the
I don't know.
The spot one more.
It's hilarious. I mean, they shouldn't have names. They should just be, you know, UTG plus one or, you know, whatever.
No, but I think more of the
terminology?
No, now you got to make your move from the cutoff position.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
And the next camp you go to, no. Come on. Now you got to do it from the hijack position. it's one more layer of poker that I think is too confusing.
I have enough to keep track of.
Exactly.
I don't need to,
you know. Like how much of money you have in your wallet at all times.
Oh, I know what I have in my wallet. I always know. It's zero. There's no reason to keep track of that. Wise guy.
You know, maybe we need to get the Silk's card room to get with those little Southwest Airlines have the little, they've gone cashless. And they've got the little card readers that the flight attendants bring with them. That's what you swipe your card at the table there.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, so it's a Silk's ball is what you're saying.
No. but that'd be cool, you know, but I don't know if I really want my ATM card to work at the table.
Yeah, wow, can you imagine that?
That's scary. That's what the government is there for, man. Just they can save me that way. Don't let me swipe my ATM card at the poker table, please.
Can you see yourself going all in, just pushing your card in the middle of the table?
Yeah, you throw your Visa, your MasterCard.
And somebody will throw a Discover, and they're like, "Hey, sorry, sir." They'll throw it back at you.
Yeah, sorry, that's 27% interest, pal. Although that could be a tell. Anybody who has a Discover card isn't very bright. They have a Discover card. Here, I got my Entertainment Player's Guide card in the middle of the thing. Oh, so you like to save $5 at Beefsteak Charlie's. All right, so we know that you're cheap, so you're tight, so you probably got a hand here.
That was the card that Telly Savalas pushed, right?
Telly Savalas. Beefsteak Charlie's, man. Beer, wine, and sangria.
Hi, this is Greg Raymer, better known as the Fossil Man, and you are listening to Annie Up.
Are you looking for different ways to build your bankroll, decrease your variance, move up in limits, or discuss strategy? GetAstaked.com has your back. At GetAstaked.com, you can get staked into games and tournaments, or just hang out and have some fun. GetAstaked.com even has live voice chat. Sign up using the referral code ANTIUP to enjoy special promotions just for Annie Up listeners and read more about GetASteak.com in the November issue of Annie Up magazine. GetASteak.com has your back. So, Scott, I got this interview. I got this email from Jason Mercier of Davie, Florida.
Yes.
He likes to say he's from Fort Lauderdale because people don't really know where Davie is or Hollywood.
But sort of like us saying Tampa Bay, even though Tampa Bay doesn't really exist.
Exactly. That Tampa Bay is a big body of water. If you're from there, you're Aquaman.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
but he's 21 years old, about to turn 22, and this man is just tearing up the poker scene, mostly in Europe. And I asked him about that, and he says that it's just coincidence. You'll see later on. But I had a chance to interview him for the magazine for our cover story. And he's a pretty level-headed kid and has a real interesting story to tell. I want to let everybody know that we're going to be picking it up after I asked him when he realized he might be able to make a living at playing poker. We also had talked previously about that his dad had a big influence in his life, so you'll hear some of that in his answers and everything. Some things we talked about, his breakthrough EPT main event victory at San Remo in April for $1.3 million.
Is it San Remo? Is that how you Italians say it?
It's San Remo.
It's not San Remo like us English people say at the old casino where the Hooters is now?
San Remo.
Ah, okay.
And
Good to know.
He just recently won the million-pound showdown, which was, the final table was unbelievable. Unbelievably stacked. Also, he has three guidelines he uses for successful poker play. And we talk about that, too. So here's most of the interview. But if you want to read the whole story, pick up a copy of our magazine in December, or you can see it online at AntiUpMagazine.com. So here's the interview.
I thought about not going to school for the semester, the first semester of 2007, but I was still living with my parents. And, you know, their rules were you have to go to school if you're going to live in the house.
Right.
I decided to handle both, go to school and try to play that much. For the first semester, and then I dropped out after I finished up.
How tough was that? I mean, you talked about your dad being your biggest influence in your life, and, you know, and just knowing that they had this sort of strict thing where, you know, if you're going to live in our house, you got to play by our rules kind of thing. Now you're going to them and saying, look, I'm gonna drop out of school and try to make a living at this. How hard was that?
Yeah, it was pretty difficult. I knew that they were going to be opposed to it. Uh-huh. It didn't really matter. The money really didn't matter at that point, I don't think, because there was no way that I was going to, I wasn't making enough to tell them, you know, that, you know, it wasn't evidence enough that I could do it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the amount that I was making. So,
So they weren't convinced, really, at that point.
Right. They weren't convinced, so I knew that I was going to have to basically prove it to them before they were fully on board, you know, and supportive of me. I mean, they were always been supportive of me, but, you know, to be on board and happy that it's what I'm doing. And which that was like probably 3 months before I had the big score. So they were all, you know, excited for me that I was doing well and everything. And then they got to watch the whole thing happen on, like EPT Live or whatever.
Right.
So, it was pretty cool.
Would you consider maybe divine intervention kept you at San Remo?
I fully believe in that. I actually just did an interview on that where I was talking about destiny, and I think that it was definitely supposed to happen. And I don't know. So, yeah, I think that God definitely had a part of it. Like I prayed at one point during the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, you know, please let me win this.
Tell me about that first win and that whole situation. And what was that like for you?
The San Remo was a really, I struggled through that tournament. Like, during day one, I was short stacked, like, pretty much the whole day. I had maybe 4,000 chips at one point when the blinds were 150-300.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it was just a grind to stay in the tournament during day one, and I ended up running my stack up to like 24,000 end day one, which the average was 33 at the time. And I didn't have my table was pretty soft the first table I was at, or all during day one. And I had the day one B off, so I had a day off, and I just, you know, took. I mean, you know, wanted to just have some good energy, you know, get some fresh air and stuff. And then the next day, during day two, I pretty much had it in my head that I was going to double up within the first 10 hits. I just felt like it was going to happen. I told everyone that I talked to, like, who asked me how I was doing in the tournament. I said, oh, I have 24,000 chips, but I'm going to double up in the first 10 hands. and they would kind of laugh. And I think on maybe the sixth hand, I had pocket aces, and I doubled up through Raymond Rami.
Right.
Which, and I played the hand, like, perfectly. I could have only got, like, maybe a quarter of his stack if I had gone all in preflop, but I just flatted his three bet.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got the maximum value out of that hand, and then I ended up finishing day two as chip leader, which I was just playing really well, and I got one key suck out against Roland DeWolf. I hit a two-outer on the river.
Wow.
With about 90 players left, so we were still short of the money. I had pocket jacks, and I got all in versus Roland DeWolf's pocket queens on a 10-3-6 flop. And the turn came a five, and then river was a jack.
Yeah.
So I would have had about 6,000 chips left with the blinds, 1,000, 2,000. So I would have pretty much been out if I had lost that hand.
Wow. So are you still amazed that, you know, your life would be so much differently if you didn't hit a two-outer? I mean, how do you even get past that?
It's hard to grasp. I mean, like, if that jack doesn't come on the river, I mean, the last 6 months don't happen. You know what I mean? They're completely different. I wouldn't have even played. I probably would have played maybe four events at the World Series instead of the 22 that I did.
Right.
Even though I didn't have a good World Series, I know that 100% that the experience that I got from playing with a lot of the top pros helped me in my game even more, and was probably one of the reasons why I was able to play against such a tough field at the Million Pound Showdown and do so well.
Yeah, you bring that up. So that really was a loaded final table. That was what Haxton and Benjamin and Juwan, who like just won the main event over in Europe.
It was pretty sick when we got down to five-handed. I realized that all five of us had like four of us had a first place finish in the last 6 months, mm-hmm. and Peter Jedden was the only one who didn't, and he got second in a 10K Palm Hunt tournament. So like all five of us had like a sick, huge score in the past 6 months.
That's just insane.
So I mean. This is a pretty sick final table, probably one of the sickest I've ever even heard of. But
now, I mean, you, of course you had the big win under your belt already, but you had to be a little bit intimidated, no?
Not really.
No?
I mean, I don't think I was intimidated at all, to be honest. The stack sizes that we were working with was, the average stack was about 25 big blinds, which is like a standard online tournament, pretty much.
Okay.
So, I was more worried, to be honest, about the online guys like Isaac Haxton and Michael Watson and Peter Jedden than I was the guys that I might be starstruck by, like David Benjamin and John Juwanda and Scotty Nguyen.
Just because it fits so well into the online playing style?
Well, yeah, because they have more experience with those stack sizes. Just like I think that I have an advantage over those guys, not the online guys, but I mean the live pros with those type of stack sizes.
All right, so you obviously do really well over on the other continent, as they say, I guess. Why do you think that is? Is it fewer distractions, or I mean, you do so well over in Europe?
I think that it's pretty much coincidence.
Oh, just coincidence. Okay.
Because I mean I've played a lot of events this year now in the States, there's a lot of big pots that I've lost where I could have went really deep if I had won them, or played the hand differently and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's like a lot of tournament poker is, you know, you're one hand away from, you know, a big score or whatever. And I've won the hands in Europe, and I've lost the hands in the States.
All right, so how about the players? How do they compare between European and Americans? Do they have a different approach for them, or are they they're more aggressive over there?
You kind of just have to figure out who plays, you know, what style, and just make adjustments, I think. But the overall level of play is a little worse in Europe. Players are more inexperienced,
okay,
usually, especially compared to West Coast U.S.
Right.
The players are a lot better than pretty much anywhere in the world. The players in Vegas are definitely the best in the world, I think. So.
Hey, while you're over there, do a lot of people like pronounce your last name wrong? They say Mercier because of...
Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe like 10% pronounce it the way that I want it. Most people just say Mercier, and I don't really correct them unless it's like an interview or something, then
right.
I tell them it's Mercier, but just so that the press says it right. So.
I thought that maybe you were over there so long you might start calling yourself that when you got back.
No, I'm not going to do it like Michael DeMichelle.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man.
I'm not doing that, so.
All right, well, you brought up your style, or you brought up your way of playing. Do you have a particular style? Can you describe it, or is it just something that you adjust for every time?
I'd prefer not to really describe it, but, I mean, I just kind of play. I can play any style, I think,
okay,
and I just make adjustments.
Do you have, like, a ritual kind of thing that for every hand, do you have something? Like, what goes through your head when you're dealt cards? Is it just a matter of... Is it coming natural to you now because you've played so many hands, or is there something specific that you do?
I'd actually prefer not to talk about it.
You think you're going to reveal too much?
Yeah, I don't really want to reveal too much. Plus, I don't want people to really get better, you know?
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I just try to be aware of my position at the table and
okay,
the stack sizes of everyone else and make my decision from there.
All right, so I see you all the time with PokerStars logos. What's your relationship with them?
To be honest, I really don't know right now.
I
would love to get fully sponsored by them, but I'm not right now. So
okay,
I'm going to be sponsored by them for a couple of events during next year for two EPTs.
Okay.
Just because of for wearing their patch during the... Parliament Omaha final table that I got eighth.
Right.
But yeah, right after that, I'm not really sure.
Okay. Well, you brought up that final table, the Omaha event. How many games do you play, and do you have a favorite, or is it just hole in one?
I can play almost every game, I think. I just learned how to play Badoogie last night.
Oh yeah, I love Badoogie.
So, I think I can play every game, but maybe not profitably, necessarily. But Parliament Omaha is definitely my favorite game,
okay,
100%.
Excellent.
It's what I like to play. If I'm going to play cash games, I like to play Parliament Omaha. But, I mean, for tournaments, No Limit Hold'em is probably have a better edge at No Limit Hold'em.
Would you have a tip for someone who wanted to know how to play Parliament Omaha? Would you have one tip you can give them? What would it be?
Find someone who's really good and just talk to them constantly.
Okay.
So, but yeah, Parliament Omaha is a very advanced game, and a lot of people don't play it properly. Even the profitable players sometimes in the mid stakes games don't play it properly.
Okay.
So it's still an up and coming game, and there's a lot of weak spots, so it's good.
To me, it seems like you like to teach. You're going to school to be a teacher. You're a high school basketball coach. What is it that you enjoy about passing on the knowledge? Is it you get some sort of fulfillment from it?
It's I don't think that I like to teach. I substituted for a few months, and I didn't really enjoy it when I was trying to like help the kids, you know, like to learn.
Oh no,
it was difficult for me, and that's what kind of made me realize that I wasn't going to be a teacher and didn't want to be.
Oh, okay.
But I really enjoyed coaching. And
you're teaching when you're a coach, right? I mean, you're still teaching. It's a different way, but...
I think it's different. It's very similar. But when you're coaching, I mean, you're more like leading and guiding the kids, you know,
yeah,
to do what you want them to do instead of showing them necessarily what is proper, you know what I mean, and what is correct. So it's more like a leadership type, you know, skill. And I think that coaching actually really helped me with get better at with my, like, people skills and interaction with, you know, the way I talk. I mean, I not that I couldn't talk before, but, I mean, I got a lot better about, you know, with public speaking and, and that type of thing, you know, talking to the kids, you know, making pregame speeches, postgame speeches, like, to the kids and stuff. So, you know, that was definitely helpful. And, yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed trying to, because, I mean, in basketball, you can have a decent effect on a game, you know, as a coach, like, because you're calling the plays, you know. I mean, you do in football as well, but I mean, baseball is a little more difficult, and hockey as well, you know. You don't really have as much of an influence as you do in basketball or football. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun, you know, trying to figure out you know, what defense to run, you know, what plays we should be running, you know, whether or not we should be pressing a certain team, stuff like that. I mean, it's, you know, it was like playing a game, you know, like a board game, almost like a game of chess with my kids, you know. It's a lot of fun.
And that translates into poker as well, right? I mean, you got to try to find out what the weaknesses of your opponent and
right,
the strategy.
Of course.
Yeah,
I think it definitely helped me with my poker game.
Okay.
I mean, coaching, like, you know, and just that whole concept of always trying to figure out what the best play is.
Okay, I got two last questions for you. One, tell me about the three guidelines that you have printed above your computer desk, and how did you come up with those?
Well, I came up with those with my buddy, my best friend, Darko. We were talking about how, you know, you always need to stay positive. That's the first rule.
Okay.
You always have to stay positive when you're playing poker, because when you start getting a negative attitude and negative energy, you just can't win. Like that, and that's my opinion. Like, I'm a firm believer of positive energy and positive thinking in poker and in life, really. The second rule is pretty much only for online poker, but it's don't chat. Like, meaning, like, don't talk to people while you're playing online.
Right.
Like, at the tables, I mean, because a lot of times you see when a guy takes a bad beat or a guy makes a pretty bad call or something and wins, you know, someone will start berating them and, you know, typing to them, like, what the hell is the matter with you, you know, don't you know how to play, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's two reasons that you shouldn't do it. First, it gets you off of, it gets you off of your game and what you should be thinking about and all that stuff.
Right.
And the second reason is you don't want to teach the bad players how to play better.
Right.
You know, and when I remember a specific instance where I did that. A guy knocked me out, made a really, really bad call in a tournament and knocked me out. And I started berating him, typing to him like, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. Now, this was like 3 years ago or whatever. Right. When I was just still a dumb young kid. And then maybe like 2 or 3 weeks later, I found, I did a Google search for my online name, see if anyone was talking about the way I was playing in forums.
Right.
And I found a forum post where this guy posted the hand and didn't understand why I was berating him and was wondering if he made, if he played the hand bad.
Right.
And he had all these responses of guys telling him, yeah, that was really, really bad play, you know, saying Trey's full can only have this type of hand there, and you're definitely beat, blah, 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 you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the guy, you know, I mean, he didn't respond after that, but I mean, I'm sure he read the post and, you know, figured out how to play the hand, that type of hand better. You know?
Right, so by you berating him, he went out looking for a way to get better.
Yeah, he went out looking to figure out why it was wrong, what he did. He wanted to find the answer. And the last rule is to be confident, which kind of stays in the, I mean, it's kind of the same thing, same concept as staying positive.
Right.
But being confident, I think, more refers to just knowing that you're one of the best players always at the table, right?
Right.
And then just being confident that your hands are going to win when you have the best of it, you know what I mean? Or even when you have coin flips, you know, just to be confident that you're going to win and to just let it happen, you know?
Right.
Those are my three rules. Kind of.
Did you ever imagine that at such a young age that you'd have this kind of success?
Maybe I did when I was really young, like, you know, 12, 13, when I thought I was going to go to the NBA, but yeah, I mean, it kind of started to sink in when I was, you know, grinding a $8 an hour job, you know, like when I was 16, 17, that I wasn't necessarily going to be a millionaire, by the time I was 21, like I always dreamed about, thought about.
Right.
But yeah, so I figured, I knew that I was going to have to figure something out, and luckily I found poker, and, you know, here I am today.
You want to reach thousands of poker players in more than 30 countries around the world? The award-winning AnteUp podcast is your best bet. Go to AnteUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335 to explore advertising opportunities starting at just $100.
And would you like to read AnteUp Magazine? Go to AnteUpMagazine.com and subscribe for just $25 a year.
I love how our listeners keep trying to spice the hand of the week up.
Yes.
You know, I have nothing against a good standard. This is a great hand to dissect. I mean, we've been doing it for 3 years. But every once in a while, we'll get a funny hand, or we'll get a frustrating hand, or this hand goes beyond that.
Goes beyond frustrating?
No, it goes beyond the...
Is it the hijack seat? It
goes beyond the...
Is it beyond the hijack seat?
Yes, sorry. Our hero's playing in the execution seat, and... check raises the assassination seat, and then you know, it's just blood and guts everywhere.
The security guard is coming in with a hypodermic needle. He's sitting on the chair. He's very frustrated because he knows he's about to die.
Yes.
All right, so okay, I no, love it too. I love that they get involved, and it's not just sending a hand and hoping they get a wheel. You know,
it is a new level of uniqueness for the Poker Whiz Wheel Hand of the Week.
I'm looking forward to it.
I once again. Our great sponsor, PokerWizWheel.com.
Yep.
WizWheel, 169 starting Texas Hold'em hands and one easy spin wheel. Go to the website, PokerWizWheel.com. Use the code ANTEUP08 and save 20% on your big Christmas buying season.
Hey, you know, you did that in first take.
You're getting pretty good at this. I know, I am.
You're a pro.
I'm a semi-pro.
Semi-pro.
I'm like class 2A.
You're Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, here we go. All right.
Yep.
This comes from our good friend Frank in Covington, Louisiana, and I'm going to start with this PS. He is a fellow Buckeye living in New Orleans.
Ah, now I know why you picked this hand.
Yes, and...
misery loves company.
Exactly, and he was born and raised in Toledo, home of the Mud Hens and Jamie Farr. And he says, dude, I'm sorry about that Penn State game. Yeah, thanks. I know. So much. And he wants me to, hey, please tell me that you're a Tribe fan.
Nope.
Sorry, I'm a Rays fan. But I am a Packers fan as well, too, and I'll be in New Orleans next month for that game. So,
all right.
So he probably hates me now. We just have the Buckeyes to bond. Buckeyes and poker. That's good enough. All right, so here we go. This is a $2 plus 25 cents sit and go, no limit hold'em, online. And he prefaces this hand by saying it illustrates stack control and poor judgment at lower levels.
All right.
That's good to know, you know, because a lot of us are playing at these $2 levels and often complain about the poor judgment.
Yep.
And probably often forget about proper stack management.
Very good.
So let's see. All right. So it's one, two, three, five handed. Stacks range anywhere from 1270 to 6160. And our hero is under the gun, UTG.
That means he's first to act after the blinds.
Exactly.
On the first round of betting.
See, look at that. We can spin it around.
That's right. We can just put it right in there.
Yeah. And he's dealt ace of spades, jack of clubs. And our fabulous Whiz Wheel says this is a blue chip hand. We like that.
We like that hand.
It's a call or fold in early position. Now, I generally fold ace jack in early position.
Yes, although it's five-handed, so if you translate five-handed to a full table and massage it around, you're really just two off the button. So you're in the hijack seat.
Yeah.
Right?
See, this is where it gets confusing.
So you have to think that if you're in the hijack seat of a full table and it's folded around to you, you would probably raise with ace-jack. So I would raise with this hand.
Okay.
That's just my thinking.
No, you're absolutely right. I think I would do the same thing.
Okay,
full table, I'm folding.
Full table, I'm folding.
Short table?
Short table, I'm raising.
Isn't that great? How you go from fold to raise?
Yep. It's amazing.
Call. It's amazing. Never comes in there.
I just had this conversation last night with someone, how everything is just situational. And this is it right here, a perfect example. I think I would raise with ace-jack and then see what happens.
Okay. Well, our hero decides to call.
Now, what were the blinds?
Blinds are, let's see, it's 80, so it must be 40-80.
Okay.
And he just calls the 80.
Okay.
Right.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but if you know you have a passive table and you might want to see a flop with it or something, who knows? But
that's very true.
If you know they're going to fold, though, you got to raise.
Exactly. All right. He says he's guessing he's hoping to catch somebody unaware. I think it's unawares, isn't it? I don't know why it's unawares. It should be unaware, but it's unawares.
You know, I don't
plural.
Care. I don't care.
All right. All right. He gets two folds. The small blind calls, and the big blind wraps the table, as you would say.
Okay.
Or just clicks the check button.
I think he clicked checks. He ain't rapping unless he's rapping in his own house. We don't know about that.
And we have three-handed. So that's, 80, 160, 240 in the pot.
Man, you can do some serious math.
Exactly. I have my shoes off.
Awesome. All right. So three-handed, 240 in the pot, and we have ace-jack off.
All right. And we are now...
Suit.
And we now have inherited the button.
That's right.
From under the gun to the button.
Hijacked the button.
Exactly. It did nothing to do it either.
Yeah.
Just called. Stared people down.
You were a passive hijacker. You were on the plane and you said, yeah, I'd like to take this plane to Mexico. Is that okay? They said, oh, all right. The pilots will comply.
All right. So three-handed. Going to the flop. We have ace of spades, jack of clubs.
Right.
Flop is three of clubs, seven of hearts. Five of clubs.
Yeah, we didn't hit this flop.
Pretty as far away from this flop as we could get, right?
The Cliff Notes version, that sucked. Oh,
you know what? I'll tell you what else sucks is that these low cards are right in the wheelhouse of our blinds.
For blinds who got to see it for free. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. But I've been noticing that people pick up on that. That they represent what they're supposed to have and are trying to fool with me. So I don't know what to make of this flop. If they both check to me, I have to take a stab. But if they get called, I'm done with the hand unless I hit the ace or the jack. And then even then, I'm cautious.
Okay.
That's how I feel
right now. I like that. Exactly. All right. So the small blind checks here. The big blind checks.
So
here we are.
I'd bet 120.
120. That is roughly half the pot.
No, it's exactly half the pot.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Roughly and exactly, not the same thing. No, I would bet exactly half the pot here, just to take a stab.
Yep, I like that too. I just, you know, they check to us, we might as well see. And if we get check raised, then we'll know we got our information. And
odds are we have the best hand pre-flop. Post-flop, that's a flop that could have missed them. It could have hit them. They could have something like jack eight and queen four. You know, who knows? Because, you know, whatever. So I'm taking a stab, and if it doesn't work out, then I'm done with the hand.
Okay. And, of course, I forgot our hero started with 2260, so we got plenty of chips.
Yeah, he's got plenty of money.
All right, so our hero actually bets 80.
That's not enough. That's a minimum bet. That's like if you're playing limit, one more bet to make it. You know, I don't like that bet. I want to make it a little more than that.
All right.
Sweeten it a little bit.
A little sweeten.
Yeah.
A little more saccharine.
Yeah, exactly. A little more equal, so you'll forget what you're doing later on.
All right, so the small blind lets the clock tick all the way down and then pushes the bloody time button. I hate that thing. And then raises 160. I'm in raise.
Yeah, I'm done. See ya. Fold.
All right, big blind gets out of the way, so we got our information. You're getting out of here.
I'm folding.
All right.
But that bet of 80 smelled very weak, and the whole time act and everything could have been just a... Yeah, I don't think you really have it, so I'm going to take it away from you because that's a really weak bet, 80. So it could be a theft thing here, re-hijacking the plane. They took over the plane and said, you're not hijacking it. But really, I think that that's it could be stealing it, but I'm done with the hand anyway. There's no reason to invest any more money in this pot. All we have is two overs.
Yeah, it's not, now,
and it's not even that much money to really.
Exactly.
So
we took
no
our
draw.
Shot, we get up. All right. You know, I'm with you too, but it would not be a hand of the week if we that it was
true.
Exactly what the hero did here.
That's right.
So he contemplated pushing back, which I guess is another way of going here, is that if you think this guy is trying to put a move on you with this little min-raise thing, that you can juice it and make him make the decision.
Exactly. Just like we were thinking that, you know, if we realized that our $80 bet or 80 unit bet was weak, that he may have interpreted that. So you're getting higher level thinking here at a $2 tournament.
Exactly.
It's pretty exciting.
All right. So he just calls.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not agreeing with that either. I think that's a weak play, too. I think it's too. No, I'm not trying to offend anyone.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as far as the action, that's the weakest thing you can do there is call, I think. You need to either re-raise or fold. Because if by calling, you don't know where you are, and it's just another weak play that he's going to have first to act. He's going to be able to bet in you. And if you don't hit your ace or your jack, then what do you do? I either raise or get out. So I would have folded.
Okay. All right. But he calls thinking that maybe he's up against ace rag that hit a pair on this board and still has some outs.
Okay.
Of course, that would mean just three outs.
Yeah.
But All right. So heads up. Go to the turn. It's the jack of diamonds.
Okay. Well, we got lucky and hit the jack.
Good bad card.
Yeah, it's good in that we hit top pair, top kicker, but we really don't know where we stand now.
Exactly, and it's going to be tough for us to probably get away from this hand now if we are cooked.
Yeah, it's tough.
Pot's at 560. And get this, Chris. The small blind lets the clock tick down again and just checks.
Hmm. I think I'm firing now. I need to know. I'm going to bet about 300 now. I need to know now.
Oh, we have to bet here, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's two clubs out there. There's a straight, probably straight on the board. I mean, it could even be a straight draw. And just because this guy checked, I mean, he could be, you know, being one of those messing with your minds and is going to come over the top with us. But, you know,
I got to bet
there's an opening here.
I'm sad that I'm in this position because I should have gotten rid of the hand, but I'm going to have to bet like 2/3 of the pot just to see where I stand. If this guy shoves, I can get away from it. If he calls, well, we're going to be really cautious on the river. I'm betting 300 here because I can't just check behind and let this guy get there for free or whatever. So I got to know where I stand now. And if I don't, if you get a call from this guy, I know where I stand. I'm beat. I think.
Okay.
Unless he's got a club draw.
I am with you. So our hero here bets 560 at the entire pot.
Yeah,
not roughly the pot, the entire exact pot.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It seems to me, especially if you're just trying to get information, you know, you can get the same answer for 300, I think.
Yep.
And save some chips.
All right. He says, now if a Boomer, who's a small blind, has a low pair, I've got him, and my jack is hidden. But guess what, Chris? Boomer now raises to 1120.
Yeah.
God. Love these no-limit hold'em min raises.
All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can get away from this hand.
All right. So our hero is contemplating. He's like trying to buy himself out of trouble? Question mark.
Well, because we put 500 in there now. So, again, we're getting, what, it's another 5. So, that's 1,020. Then the guy re-raises, how much?
Min raise. So, it's 1,120.
So, 1,120. So, you got 2,200 in there, and you need to call 500. When you get 4-1 on your money with ace-jack, top pair, top kicker. Now, it's hard to get away from.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, this is this is why you should not get in trouble. You should have raised with ace-jack pre-flop. This guy probably wouldn't have been in the hand. All right, I guess I'm shoving.
You're shoving. You're just like, all right.
Well, I don't
know. I got caught, or I got to.
Could you tell me what the small blind had for a stack?
Small blind was the chip leader.
Yeah, no.
Started with 61-60.
Now we're in trouble.
Yeah, because the shoving probably isn't going to. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess if he has nothing, he's not going to call.
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw away good money after bad.
Well, I know he doesn't put us on a jack. So,
there's two check raises in a row. Isn't this great?
Yeah, this is sick.
Or bad?
It's bad. All right, well, if I just call, I know I'm going to have to call another bet on the river. So,
yeah, that's
I'm
the
either
thing
folding or
about.
And
it's probably going to be, and I guess in that case, I mean, it's going to be a bet for the rest of your
yeah, your that's
stack,
what I'm saying.
Right? So you might as well just get it
you're either going
to
shove it now or you're going to fold. So, all right, I'm shoving. I'm shoving because I think this guy had like a 7 in his hand and had top pair and thought it was good. And he thinks we have like nothing. So I'm just going to shove and take the heat for it later. Go ahead. What happens?
All right, our hero just calls.
Oh, these calling plays are not good.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do in the end, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're committed at this point for the most part. I mean, unless you, I guess you fold, you still have some chips left.
But, yeah, it's tough.
And we are five-handed now, so.
All right, so
that's the other thing, I guess, is that you are. We don't know whether this is a six-handed sit and go or a 9 that's down to this part, but. Either way, you're close to the money.
Yeah, I'm. Well, he just called, right?
He just called. Pot's at 2,800. The river is the king of hearts.
See, now you're beat. You
there goes our yeah. There goes our top pair, top kicker now. Yeah. And the serial check raiser leads out for 900,
which is basically our
which
stack.
Is Arch stack.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
You know, he could have gone 899 and left a chip behind.
But so no, he can 18 up like you did?
all right, so, and of course, you know, we only have one move here, right?
I mean, yeah, we have to call.
I guess you could fold and hold that 900. I mean, it's still...
It's still 40-80, so you got 11. 10.
Yeah.
10
you know, to be honest, this is what I did in the Omaha tournament. I would probably fold here as weak
yeah,
as it is.
You're talking about a limit tournament versus a no-limit tournament.
Yeah.
There's a little difference
but
there.
I still got 10, 11 big blinds, and I really don't think my hand's good here. I've been check-raised twice, and now I've been put all in on the river with a king.
Okay. Well... I already shoved so before.
No, and I agree. I think we both would have played this differently, so neither one of us would have been in this situation. But at this point...
I guess you could get away from your hand because the blinds are so low. So you could fold there on the river.
And, you know, the other stacks... I mean, a double up would get me back to... would get me back to second place.
Yeah, I don't think Frank folds. But if he does, then hey, more power to him. Maybe he cashed. But... I would have already shoved. Of course, I would have been away from this hand a long time ago. So it's hard to really,
exactly.
It's hard to put yourself in that. But if I'm in that position, if I've gotten myself in that position somehow, that's how I would have reacted. So I probably would have already shoved. Now I'm probably still calling because it was a $2 tournament, and you know there's so much money out there, and I still had top pair, top kicker till the river. What kind of hand could he have had with a king in it that was playing it that way? So I guess I'm still calling.
Yeah, I wonder. He could. I guess he could have had ace king with clubs.
I guess.
Trying to get the flush.
But, you know, he doesn't re-raise or raise at all in a small blind with that hand. You got to go back and tell the story.
Yeah, that's true. You know? That's true. All right. So. Well, anyhow, our hero calls. It says, even if he has a king, he's committed, of course. And it says, suppose I could have shoved on the turn, which you said.
Yeah.
Showdown, what do you think our opponent is going to show us here?
I think it might be something like A7, or he flopped a straight and just getting the most out of it. I don't know. But the pause, the check raise on the is a big... Why would you check raise... I guess you could check raise in the turn if you had the straight mate already. I don't know. I'm just going to put him on like A7.
All right.
Maybe King-7 and he made two pair, but...
That could be.
But
I like that actually better.
But I don't know.
Because that would justify the all-in at the end.
Yeah.
But no, the opponent chose 6 of clubs, 4 of spades, flopped a straight,
brutal,
7 high, it wins the 4,600 pot and
knocks
the player out.
That guy easily won the tournament because he had almost all the chips. Wow. Yeah, see, that's what I was saying. That's why you raise with the ace-jack. There's a perfect example why in the hijack seat, which not really is the hijack seat, but you should have raised that ace-jack. And then you should have, you know, if you'd re-raised on the turn, on the flop, I mean.
Yeah.
If you had re-raised... No, yeah, because re-raise, because you bet he... Yeah, so you would have re-raised his check raise. So if you had done that, you would have gotten your information probably, because then he would have said, oh, this guy's got a set, or he's got an overpair, I can, you know, and then he would have gotten it all in with a straight or something like that, and you would have gotten your information. But to take it even further, that's what happens. Now look at you, and you're out of the tournament.
All right, now, Chris, I promised you and the entire nation a twist to this hand.
Okay.
And we have not yet had a twist, have we?
No, let me guess. It wasn't him, right? It was someone else. He was playing. He was the other guy.
Exactly.
oh,
Frank
geez.
Was the villain in this hand that won the pot with his flop straight.
Wow.
And now here's he went back through and analyzed the hand from his point of view, and we'll do it very quickly here. He says he was a large stack and could afford to see the flop out of the small blind with no raise.
Mm-hmm.
And when he hit that flop, all he had to do was keep this guy involved. He said he didn't think two check raises would work.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, he said all he had to do is keep him involved, but check raises don't keep people involved.
Well,
they
that's what he
went
to say, is that
right?
Two of them, even not even what he won, but he did two, and this guy still came along.
Right. Well,
but
what,
yeah.
What I'm saying is that he said all he had to do was keep him involved, but he didn't. He did everything he could to get him out, it seemed to me. Why would you check raise? I guess because if you're scared of the clubs, you want to get your money now without giving him a free card. And if you're going to check raise, you're telling him that I have a hand that's so powerful that I can afford to give you a free card. That's basically what you say with a check raise. And so this guy should have folded, and he didn't. So he didn't do everything he could to keep him around. He scared him, and the guy still kept calling. So unless he had a bead on how this guy played, which at 40-80, I doubt he's already got a bead on how great this guy is or how bad he was. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I agree with the check raises. If you got the nuts, why are you check raising?
All right, well, here's what he said. He said his point number two was he got obstinate after his first check raise. He's talking about his opponent here.
Right.
I thought he might have seen the stack size at that point and decided then, a round too late, that I was trying to buy out the pot. If you raise a larger amount and still get check raise, isn't it easy to just muck the ace-jack and move on, which is what we said we would have done.
Yeah.
Look at, you're playing at the $2 level. People are learning the game.
Right, and, absolutely.
So, you know, it's tough because you want to apply that kind of knowledge and play optimally, but then every once in a while you got to remember, hey, you're playing $2, $5, $10 tournaments, anybody could be in there. And they said in the when I decided to check raise the second time, I figured that would do it, but I got very lucky on the jack falling on the turn to seal the deal for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just lucky a club didn't come in the end. Not that the guy would have made the flush, but then he was taking the chance by giving up those free cards that he could have had a club draw, which is, if he had a club draw, that's exactly how the ace-jack would have played it. If he had ace of clubs, jack of clubs, instead of ace of spades, jack of clubs, that he easily could have played it that exact same way, and he'd have been screwed on the river. So, you know, but that's me. I tend to overbet online. I get scared online a lot quicker, and for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
You know, this week alone, I've had pocket queens. I didn't bring this up earlier, but I had pocket queens three times in cash games. And three times, two of the times, the flop came exactly 9-4-2 rainbow. Two times. The third time, it came like 9-4-9 or something. Or no, 9-4-8. And all three times, someone flopped a set on me with pocket queens. So I tend to think that bad beats come a little more often online for me. So I get a little shell shocked and might overbet. So that's just me saying you should have gotten rid of this guy with the club, with a possible club draw instead of check raising. I wouldn't have given him free cards. But that's just me. I get nervous online, you know, that the stuff's going to get there. It's always going to get there. It seems like that to me. So that's just how I feel. But hey, nice little twist in there, Frank. Thanks for that. And
I like that.
Yeah.
And, Frank, we also like that you sent us your address. So a whiz wheel from the good folks at PokerWhizWheel.com will be coming to the town of Covington very soon.
Excellent. Another good show, Scott. Right?
Yeah.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was a better show than the Rays did in the World Series.
And better than the Buckeyes did against the Nittany Lions.
Yeah. You couldn't just let me have that one. You had to.
I'm sorry. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we will see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.